Ramsey TV.
From the edgy thing of the bottom thing of the Florida thing, this is Martin Zender. It's a new week of broadcast excellence. You're on MZ TV. I'm Martin Zender. That's what the MZ stands for. We're going to talk about Isaiah chapter 10, which is the king of Assyria. This is a great example of the sovereignty of God and how God operates in all people without the people even knowing it. Remember, I told you, vessels of dishonor do not know they are vessels of dishonor. They don't wake up thinking they're going to be vessels of dishonor, but they are. They find out later at the great white throne. It's like, was I a vessel of dishonor? Yeah, you were, yeah. I told you before how to cheat while wearing a mask. We're still in the stupid COVID thing era. And so I told you that when I have to wear a mask, there's a way to cheat. And I described it to you, but there's no better way than to show it to you. So just briefly before we, I hate to even put this thing on. It's totally embarrassing. But if you want to rebel, if you're a rebel like me, then you have to do something to beat the system. So what I do is I don't cover my nose. See, I'm looking at this. Watch. I put it right under my nose like this. And only one time has somebody said something. I went to a checkout at the Winn-Dixie over here, and the girl said, "You have to put that mask over your nose." And I said, and this is my suggestion. This is how you answer that. I'll tell you what I did. I planned it ahead of time. I said, "Oh, I can't. I've got asthma. I can't. I can't. That's what you got to do." And she hated me at that point. So she just looked away and she wouldn't tell me how much my purchase was. She hated me. And then I realized that my goal from now until this thing is over is I'm going to irritate as many of these people as I can. Okay, I'm a total whine.
He refuses to wear his mask because
I have asthma. I can't wear it over my nose.
Okay, For us to come in this store, you do have to have... I have asthma as well, and I have to wear the mask.
My doctor told me if I breathe my own carbon dioxide, I can't do it.
I can't!
Unfortunately,
can't let you into the building.
Say that again.
Sorry, you can't record me either.
I can.
No, you cannot.
Yes, I can.
I do not allow you
I'm at Total Wine in Fort Lauderdale, and they're telling me that I have to put my mask over my nose, but I have asthma, and I can't do it.
I can't!
And they're telling me, what's your name?
My name is Oliver, and I'm the wine manager.
You're the wine manager?
I have to ask you to leave. You cannot record in we're a private building.
Sorry, you gotta go.
Please go. Thank you.
No, don't touch
what's your name, sir?
My name's Ken.
You're already irritating them by not wearing a mask. Anywhere you go where the mask is optional and 99% of the people are wearing a mask and you're the only one not wearing a mask, they already hate you. So comfort yourself by the fact that they're miserable seeing you without a mask. That makes me happy. I don't know why. So if you have it here, you can adjust this with your tongue. Like when I was on that flight coming back from Ohio, you had to wear a mask, but I always had it down here. And then when nobody was looking, I used my tongue and I pushed it down here. Huh? Hey, you can do that. And then when they're coming down and they're looking at you, I felt like I was back in school. Like, here comes a teacher. And put it back over here. I never put it on my nose. Nobody ever said anything, but I was already with a, I can't. That's all you got to do. Those of you who subscribe to me on YouTube and not on my website, martinzender.com, why aren't you subscribed to my website? If you're not, go to martinzender.com. You can scroll down and you can subscribe and you get some free stuff, which is no big deal because everything you get from me is free anyway, but it's free on top of free. The reason I mention this is every Saturday I send out to my website subscribers a classic video. And the one I sent out on Saturday, I watched it myself. I hadn't seen it in a while. And this is one of the best. It's called Christians Want to Sell You Gravity. If you wonder what the heck, I'm not going to tell you anything about it. I'm just going to tell you, watch it. It is linked below. Don't miss it. Christians Want to Sell You Gravity. This is the video to link and send to your friends and your soon-to-be ex-friends. And I think it's really a convincing way to show people that Christianity is a sham trying to sell you something that you already have. There's a clue. Okay, now Romans chapter 9, as we know, is a sovereignty of God chapter. And the example Paul uses here is Pharaoh. Pharaoh, it was a tool in God's hands, and Pharaoh had no idea. Remember, I interviewed I interviewed Pharaoh's wife on this very show last week, and she had no clue that was happening. She just thought he was getting grouchy, and she had no, there's no visible signs that people are being manipulated by God. It's invisible, and it's the same with us. Our belief, the day that you believe, the day that the Spirit of God came into you, it was totally invisible. And the only indication you had was all of a sudden you believed. And that didn't come from nowhere. It didn't come from a well of belief inside of you. It didn't come from working up an effort. It just like popped in your head. And it's like, wait a minute. That's it right there. That's it. The Spirit of God came into you at that point. It's totally invisible. But it works the same way with vessels of dishonor. And it worked the same way with the king of Assyria. Okay, this is great because this is a heathen king who hates the God of Israel, hates Israel, hates everything probably. He probably hates his own wife, hates his own kids, hates his dog. I don't know. But listen to this guy. Listen to what God says about him. Because this is the prophet Isaiah, so we're getting backstage information. We're getting behind-the-scenes look at why this ill-tempered king was the way he was. Verse 5. And oh, this also touches why God judges vessels of dishonor. Remember the big question of Romans 9. Why is he still blaming people if he makes people hard? Why does he make them hard and then blame the people for being hard? You remember that big question? Paul gives the answer, who are you to question God? I could say that and get away with it. You could say, but Martin, why does God judge people when he makes hard? All I'd have to say to anybody is, who do you think you are? But instead, I explain it. I go backstage. And I don't make it up. I don't have to because we have an excellent example in Isaiah chapter 10. Verse 5. Woe Assyria, club of my anger. This is God speaking, capital M. Woe to Assyria, club of my anger. A rod is he in the day of my indignation. Against a polluted nation shall I send him. The polluted nation he's talking about is Israel. So he's calling Assyria a rod in my hand, in the day of my indignation. Against a polluted nation, i.e. Israel, shall I send him. And against a people of my rage shall I commission him to loot and to plunder and to make it a trampling ground. First of all, why is God doing all this? He is disciplining his people, Israel. But God doesn't come down directly from heaven and do it in person. Well, I understand you've been quite disobedient these days. I think I'm going to have to do something about that. Go to your room. No, that was the Christian God. This is the real God. But God is in control of every single person on the planet. Duh. And we know he's in control of vessels of dishonor. So he sends people who are already grouchy, already have big weapons, already have swords, already want to fight, and he sends them against his people in order to discipline them. Hebrews 12. God disciplines those he loves. Oh, thanks. Yeah, so if you're looted and plundered, just know this. God loves you. He's trying to shape your character. And it's hard to take. The discipline of God's hard to take. I understand that. So I will send the king of Assyria against a polluted nation. Against the people of my rage shall I commission him to loot, to plunder, to make it a trampling ground like the clay of the streets. Ooh, just clay there. That kind of refers back to the potter and the clay. Here's the key. Listen to this. Verse 7, Isaiah 10. Yet he is not planning so, and his heart is not devising so. For it is in his heart to exterminate and to cut off nations, not a few. So it's just like I said, the king of Assyria, already his thing is exterminating nations. And his heart is already leaning that way. But of course, God originally made it lean that way. But the key is that he's not planning it. The king of Assyria is not planning any of this. And it's not in his heart to help God discipline Israel. He has no idea that God is sending him, the king of Assyria, and his army against Israel to loot them and to plunder them for some disciplinary measure. No clue. The guy has no clue. And yet we're getting information that God is doing it. And it's being pointed out here that the king of Assyria is not planning it. It didn't come in his heart that I'm going to help God discipline Israel. For it is in his heart to exterminate. And this, before I finish, you're going to see why this is a key to understanding the answer to the question, why is God judging those he makes hard? Paul's answer is just, how dare you question God? And he left it at that. Here, I'm giving you behind the scenes. Paul didn't want to. I don't know why. He didn't want to. Then the Spirit didn't tell him to elaborate on this. He just said, who are you to question God? And because people look at Romans 9 and they say, there's no answer. Paul doesn't answer. He just says, shut up. You're talking about God. Be quiet. God can do whatever he wants. And then Paul goes on to say, doesn't God have the right to do this and that? Doesn't God have the right out of his own creation, out of the same lump of clay, to make a vessel of honor and a vessel of dishonor? But here is the inside look at how it's happening and why it's happening. It is in the heart of the king of Assyria to exterminate, to cut off nations, not a few. For he is saying, this is what the king of Assyria is saying. We're actually getting his thoughts. Do you realize this? The Holy Spirit is inspiring Isaiah, putting him into the brain of the king of Assyria, and he's reading his thoughts. It happened in the New Testament. Remember, Jesus didn't entrust him. Our Lord did not entrust himself to people because he knew. He knew what kind of people they were. He could read hearts. For he is saying, are not my chiefs altogether kings? This is the king of Assyria. Are not my chiefs altogether kings? Is not Calno like Carchemish? I'm just reading these words. This is crazy. If I was a king and I was going, is not Charno like Carmenish? I don't even know what that means. I'm just reading it. But he's saying it like, I conquered these places. Calno, Carchemish. I don't know where these places are. Google them. I don't know. Or is not Hamath like Arpad? Just reading it. Is not Samaria like Damascus? Just as my hand came upon the kingdoms of forbidden idols, whose carvings are greater than Jerusalem's and Samaria's, shall I not, just as I did to Samaria and to her forbidden idols, also to do to Jerusalem and to her fetishes? Just reading. A fetish is an idol. So he's saying, I did this to all these other countries, all these other nations. I'm going to do it the same to Israel. Verse 12, so it will be that Yahweh shall carry through all his work against Mount Zion and Jerusalem. Then I shall visit evil on the fruit of the insolent heart of the king of Assyria, and on the vaunting haughtiness of his eyes. For he has said, quote, Isaiah, God, through Isaiah, quoting another thought. No, this is actually what the king of Assyria said. The king of Assyria has said, by the vigor of my hand, I did it. By my wisdom, for I have understanding. I'm taking away the boundaries of peoples, and their equippings have I robbed, and I am bringing down those who sit like a sturdy one. My hand is finding the estate of the peoples as a nest, and as one gathers forsaken eggs, so do I gather the entire earth. So he goes on and on and on and on, just bragging, boasting. Who does that sound like to you? No, not Joel Osteen, no. It sounds to me like the Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, as he's walking around his parapet, saying, is this not the great Babylon which I have built, the might of my hand? And so the king of Assyria, before he goes to battle against Israel, he's bragging, boasting in himself, in his power, in the strength of his army. And he's reviewing all these great places. I made Charnosh like Enod, whatever. And here's that great verse in verse 15. This is God now speaking. Isaiah's God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. Shall the axe vaunt itself over the one hewing with it? Should the mace, that is the club, magnify itself over the one swinging it? This is God saying, well, let me say this. Free will is so stupid. It's like saying, like that example I gave you, like, shall the clay, remember the example of me putting some clay and challenging the clay to make itself into one thing or another without any influence? Free will is as dumb as saying that an axe wields the one who's using it. It's like, oh, that guy's chopping wood with an axe. No, the axe is using the guy to chop wood. That's what God is saying here. That's what Isaiah is saying. Shall the axe vaunt itself? That is, should the axe boast of itself over the one using it? Who's more important? Who's the one doing it? The axe is an inert object. It's being used by the user. And it's just as stupid to say, shall the clay, apart from the hand of a potter, make itself into a vessel either for honor or for dishonor? How can the clay do that? Human free will says that the human being has the power to decide its own destiny apart from the one who is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his own will. That is as stupid as saying that, oh, the axe swung the user. The axe, the club, was the one manipulating the guy who's got the club in his hand. This is the same thing the king of Assyria is doing. He's boasting as if he's independent. But the king of Assyria is no different than Christians. No different. Is this not, didn't I do this, didn't I do that, didn't I rob things? The Christians do the same thing. They don't realize. They would look at the king of Assyria and say, oh, what a terrible, hateful soul. You're doing the same thing, Christian, when you vaunt your will over God's. Am I not the one who chose Jesus Christ? Am I not going to heaven because I went to church? Am I not a good person because I hardly ever sin? And because I'm good to my fellow man, and because I made that almighty great decision to choose Jesus. That's what you're saying. And you're boasting yourself over the one wielding you. Guess who's wielding you the whole time you're boasting about your vaunted decision? God is. God parts to each the measure of faith, Romans 12:3. It's God who's wielding you. God's doing it. For you to vaunt, and you do it in your mind. If you don't do it outwardly, you're doing it in your mind. Those who believe in human free will, you're doing it in your mind. You might not appear arrogant or proud on the outside because you may put that Christian sheen on your face like, oh, I'm so saintly, I'm so holy. But inside, you are the king of Assyria. I have done this by my own power. That's why you're comfortable with other people going to hell. That's why. Well, it's their own fault. They didn't have to go to hell. They didn't have to be tormented for eternity. They just weren't smart enough to choose Jesus. Oh, so you were? Well, no, yes. But you're not consistent. You can't say that consistently. You are the king of Assyria. And what does God say? He says it's ridiculous for an axe, and that was a Freudian slip, as if an ass or an axe could talk to boast of itself. I'm using this guy, like the axe is talking. I'm using this guy. This guy's doing whatever I want him to do. As if, I'm quoting scripture now, as if a club should swing the one raising it up. As if a rod should raise him up who is not wood. The rod is made of wood. It's an inanimate material. And it cannot manipulate the one manipulating it. I think I've made the point there. Therefore, verse 16, the Lord Yahweh of hosts shall send leanness upon his stout warriors. Talking about the warriors of the king of Assyria. Instead of his glory shall glow a glowing like the glowing of fire, and the light of Israel will become a fire, and his Holy One a blaze, and it will consume and devour his spines and his buckthorn in one day, and the glory of his wildwood and his cropland, both soul and flesh, shall it consume. This is poetry of destruction. But here we have God judging the king of Assyria. Same problem people have with God judging Pharaoh. It's made clear from here that God is the one doing it. Because he said right at the beginning, I send him against my people. I send him. Just like Pharaoh, he raised Pharaoh up. And again, the king of Assyria quoting, by the vigor of my hand, I did it. And again, just to remind you, sorry, Christians, you say the same thing. By the might of my hand, I did it. Except instead of hand, substitute will. By the might of my will, I did this. And so God is going to bring him down. But here's the key. The king of Assyria is not planning this. His heart is not devising to help God. It's not meaning itself. The king of Assyria doesn't mean himself to be an object used by God. Neither did Satan. Neither did Judas. Neither did Pilate. Neither did the high priest. None of them. Because God was moving them to do it. But again, he still judges them. So we learned that it was his heart that was ignorant of what he was doing. That was verse 7. And down in verse 13, quoting the king of Assyria, "By the vigor of my hand, I did it." This is what he thought he was doing. This was the plans of his heart. So he is judged not in accord with what he did. This is important. It applies to Pharaoh. It applies to the people who crucified Christ. They are judged not in accord with what they did, because what they did was absolutely what God wanted them to do. They are judged in accord with their heart, in accord with their understanding. They didn't understand that they were being used by God. So they're not judged for being used by God to do a wicked act that was necessary. They're judged, and here it is. Here's the backstage look. They're judged by what they devised in their own heart, being in ignorance of being an axe in God's hand, being a club in his hand. You remember, I keep telling you about this bubble of ignorance, that nobody knows the future. Well, vessels of dishonor don't know what they're doing while they're doing it. And so, since the king of Assyria's heart was not devising to help God, since his heart was not devising to help God discipline Israel, God is going to judge him according to what he was thinking in his heart. Here's the key, verse 12. "Then I shall visit evil on the fruit of the insolent heart of the king of Assyria." There it is, verse 12. "I will visit evil." That is, I will judge. Parallel passage, Romans 9. God judges those whom he hardens. "I will visit evil." And we know evil is just to break. The king of Syria is going to be broken, but God breaks in order to what? God kills in order to what? To raise up, to make alive. "I shall visit evil on the fruit of the insolent heart of the king of Assyria." Not on what he did, but on what he was thinking. His thinking needs adjusted. And this is all the Great White Throne is. It's a huge thing. The king of Assyria, Judas, Pilate, Pharaoh, their thinking, their heart at the time, their personal motives, their arrogance, their pride. "King of Assyria, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'm great. That's what he's judged on. Not the fact that he went after Israel. That was God doing that. See, it's his interior. It's his motives. That's the thing. Instead of heart, you can put motive there. "I shall visit evil on the fruit of the insolent motives of the king of Assyria." It's true. God also gave him his motives. That's true. But again, it comes back to God needs vessels of dishonor. It comes back to that. Sorry. But now you see, it's not the fact that they obeyed, even inadvertently. Well, that's the key. What God wanted. It was what they were thinking at the time. And when the light shines on that act and that motive, believe me, the king of Assyria will see it instantly. He might not have saw it when God then judged. God then wrecked the king of Assyria, wrecked him. God wrecked Pharaoh. God wrecked Judas after they did their devious deeds. But this guy might have died still not knowing the king of Assyria. They're like, "God, things are going bad for me all of a sudden. Wonder what happened. I thought I was doing pretty good. It's like, I'm getting crushed. I used to be the king of the hill. Now they're all coming after me." He didn't realize that was God disciplining him for what he was thinking in his heart. So he might not even have realized it, but he will at the great white throne. That's where the big light shines. That's where the hearts are exposed. That's where motives are exposed. And as soon as the light shines on these people, they're going to get it. They're going to go, "Ah. And they can't argue with the fact that God made them do what they do. They can't argue that they did what they did. But they will have to acknowledge when that light shines, "Yeah, man, Mike. Did I have a bad attitude while that was happening?" This is the king of Assyria. Did I have a bad attitude? "Yeah, okay, yeah, I did." And that'll have to be exposed and judged and broken and then reconciled. Because all these dubious, infamous characters, everyone I've named, including Satan, will be reconciled to God. But they will come to a breaking just like we have come to a breaking. Many of us are believers because at some point we broke. Yeah. sometime during our life, God shone the light on us. He put the light on our interior. We learned things about ourselves that we didn't know. So why rob these people, these poor vessels of dishonor, why rob them of the same great thing that God did for us? We didn't just come around one day. Probably God used an event. Not always, but God used an event. You lose your job, you lose your spouse, you get sick, and you start to think, geez, maybe there's something more to life than this, you know? Like the Grinch on top of Mount Crumpet. Starts to realize something. They're singing. They're singing, even though they lost everything. Boom, it hits them. God used that event. So the same thing that happened to the Grinch, same thing that happened to you and to me, it's going to happen to these characters as well. So let's not rob them of that, because it's going to do for them what it has done for us. That is, bring us to a knowledge of the glory of God.